Well, thank you to Sister Yvonne for playing that hymn. It was very short notice, but Nathan's most appreciative of that. Thank you, and it's a wonderful hymn. So, Brother Nathan, we invite you to encourage us this morning. Thank you, Brother.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thanks for inviting me and having me over this morning. Great to see you all here. I must say, here in the Tauranga meeting, I'm surprised how late you guys start the meeting. I mean, sincere apologies for being so late. We didn't quite leave home in time. Had to pick up one of our kids on the way from somebody else's place, and just about ran out of gas on the way too. So our car does about 20 k's after it says 0 k's on the gas meter. So I'm quite happy about that. So think about when you're a kid and your birthday's coming up soon. You know my birthday is soon. And you're going to have a birthday party and you really, really look forward to it. You know, you say, oh, I can't wait. I can't wait till my birthday party. You don't even know. Well, you might not know what's going to happen at your birthday party, but you still really look forward to it because you know it's going to be great. And at the party, now you're going to get presents. You don't know what they're going to be, but you look forward to them anyway because you know that they're going to be good. This is coming, it's going to happen, I can't wait. And of course, what else is like that for all of us? We're all waiting for our Lord Jesus to come back. And we don't really know that much about what's going to happen to us, do we? We know kind of what's going to happen before our Lord comes back and when he arrives, and a bit about what's going to happen afterwards, but actually exactly who are you going to be, what are you going to be doing, there's a lot of unknown things. But we all really look forward to it because we know it's going to be great. Now, who feels like that? It's an easy thing to feel, isn't it? And when is our Lord going to come back? Just like we don't really know what's going to happen sort of afterwards to us, nobody really knows, do they? I mean, we've got the Word of God, we have the Bible, and of course that tells us. Well, it gives us, you know, quite a number of clues, but doesn't say exactly when our Lord is going to return. And, you know, we think, okay, you know, things are happening, we're getting close. But we still don't really know. It's not really like a birthday party, is it? We're looking forward to it, it's going to happen. Well, one day. And of course, the classic guide for us is things like Nebuchadnezzar's image. We have the head of gold, and the chest of arms of silver, and the belly and thighs of brass, and the feet of iron and clay, which of course that's us here right now. And what comes next? There's that stone that comes flying down and smashes the image to pieces. And that's what we're all waiting for. When's it going to happen? We know it's going to happen. And 2,000 years ago, the nation of Israel was destroyed. It was attacked by the Romans, who I suppose already owned it, and they scattered the Jews all around the whole world. Just like the Bible said, they didn't really know when it was going to happen. They were told, with a pretty fine tolerance, they knew it was coming, just like the Bible said. And Jeremiah 30 verse 3, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will bring my people, Israel and Judah, back from captivity and restore them to the land I gave their ancestors to possess, says the Lord. And once again, they didn't know when. Those who believed knew it was going to happen, and we've seen it happen. Well, most of us haven't seen it happen, but we know it happened not all that long ago. And what about now? What's happening in our world of iron and clay, the bottom of the image? Well, we have things like, of course, there's the war between Ukraine and Russia. There's the war happening in Gaza. Which, of course, again, was told to us by God that sort of thing's going to happen. Numbers 33, verse 55. If you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land, those you allow to remain will become barbs in your eyes and thorns in your sides. They will give you trouble in the land where you live. And of course, the people of Gaza have never been anywhere near strong enough to destroy Israel. But as we've seen, they've been fighting and uprising and terrorist attacks and firing rockets and killing people for, well, a very, very long time, many years. And we've got the Hezbollah terrorists attacking Israel and Israel attacking them, and everyone's worrying that Iran's going to join in and start a war against Israel. Russia's standing up to support Israel's enemies. They're getting involved in the Middle East as well. And what are all the countries in the world talking about? Well, guess what? You wouldn't have thought so all that long ago, but all the countries are talking about Israel. Everyone's worried about what's going to happen. They're all telling them, do this next, make a ceasefire. This is how you've got to do it. They're all very concerned about what's going to happen and what effect it's going to have in the Middle East and the effect it's going to have in the whole world. And, the Bible kind of says to them, you should be worried. Zechariah 12, verse 2 and 3. I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem. On that day, when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. All who try to move it will injure themselves. So that's one thing we're looking forward to. Well, I suppose we're not really looking forward to it, but we're waiting for it to happen. And maybe now, is that happening now? Is Jerusalem becoming a cup that perhaps is sending the surrounding nations, the surrounding peoples reeling? Well, it's looking a bit like it, isn't it? Maybe soon, as God said, maybe soon Judah is going to be besieged as well as Jerusalem. Sort of a big step up from where they are now. And maybe after that, all nations of the earth are going to start gathering against Israel. Maybe it's soon, maybe it's not. We know it's exactly what's going to happen. And that's just one of the things that we're watching and we're waiting for. You have a look in the paper, you have a look in the news, you read Andy Walton's World Watch and see, this has happened next. Wow, what's the next step? Is it going to happen now, or is this just another time of trouble? Well, I do think that maybe God's prophecy is starting to happen right in front of our eyes. Maybe we are sitting here and watching the first real start of it. Are we sitting here and watching? Are we ticking things off the list? There's that one, there's that one, there's that one. We don't know when, and so we keep on waiting. We keep on hoping that it will be soon, because we know it's going to be great when he comes. So while you wait, James chapter 5 verse 7 tells us, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." And Hebrews 10, verse 36, "You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised." Because the promises of God, we've seen them happen. And that's just, well, that is the one big promise that's going to happen to us. And Hebrews 10:37, "For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay." So when the time is here, our Lord is going to come and he is not going to delay. And as for us, we're told to wait patiently. But we're not just going to sit here and, you know, wait patiently. We're going to do the will of God while we wait, because then we know we can have a part of the promise that is to come. Hebrews 9, verse 28, "Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." So like your next birthday party when you're a kid, are you waiting for that? You know it's going to come. Are you looking forward to it? Our Lord is coming back one day. And 2 Timothy 4 verse 8, "Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing," just like we all do. So I've come here to say, let's imagine our Lord is coming back. Imagine what it is going to be like when you stand before our Lord Jesus. Maybe you will stand. Maybe you will bow down before him. Maybe you will fall down on your knees in front of our Saviour. Maybe you will lie flat on the ground. You will prostrate yourself in worship to our Master and our King. You are going to do that one day. Just imagine what that will be like. And what did Job say? Job 19 verse 27. He says, "I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another. How my heart yearns within me." So once again, our Lord Jesus is coming back and you will see him with your own eyes. So just think about that. Your whole life will just be a memory. All the things that seem so important to us now will be completely worthless. We won't even really care so much about everything we do every day, because we are walking into the presence of Jesus. This is the one thing that matters to us. We leave everything else behind. You know, I can imagine myself walking into Jesus' presence. What am I going to do? I think that maybe I will walk up towards my Lord Maybe I'll just be looking down at the ground, not worthy to look up to his face. Maybe I'll be standing there just not moving, not breathing, just staring at that ground. Maybe looking at the feet of my Lord and Master. And maybe, eventually, I can just slowly raise up my eyes, slowly look upwards, and for the first time ever, I will see the face of my Lord Jesus. Now, when that happens to you, how will that feel? What's going to be going on inside your head and inside your heart when you see the Lord Jesus for the very first time? And when I stop and think about it, it's overpowering. It's too much. I can't fit it inside my head. When you see our Lord for the first time, what will you do? Maybe you won't be able to stop. You'll be running and jumping and dancing. Maybe you'll just stand there silently with your mouth open. Just standing there. Maybe you won't even be able to stand at all. You'll try, but you'll fall to your knees. You'll fall face down on the ground. Maybe you will sing and dance, burst out singing with happiness. You just can't stop the song and the words coming out of your mouth. Maybe you'll try, but you won't even be able to get a single word past your lips. Maybe you'll stand there silently because this is the most emotional, the most amazing, incredible experience you have had in your entire life. Everything in your life, everything you've waited for, has been building up to this moment. So as we all go about this life of ours, every single day while we wait, every day, just take a moment. In our busy, rushing around schedule, take one little moment just to imagine meeting our Lord Jesus for the first time. Imagine that. Use it as an encouragement to do the right thing, because that's so important to us. To live like God wants us to tell people around us about our Lord Jesus, to live every day just wanting him to come back. Because one day, our Lord Jesus will return, and one day you will meet our Lord and our Master, and you will see his face for the first time. Now, just to finish, I'd like to play you guys a song. Best song ever written in the world, in my opinion. Just listen to these words.
Imagine. Yeah. can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I do is forever, forever worship.
Thank you, everyone.